Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
Just getting right to it because we've got a lot of ground to cover, a lot of callers in the queue. Today we're revisiting our discussion we had on Monday about the inhabitants of the astral realm. And we're going to be, of course, taking our listeners' calls for readings. Neil, let's get started.
Where we were, we don't have a lot of time, but we were discussing the elements of the astral realm, and I think today I want to, you know, we work our way up the astral realm. We get to the higher elements of the astral realm where we experience some of our more divine guides and spirits and higher elements of energy. But before we get there, and that is the epitome of where we're going in terms of the examination of what inhabits the astral realm, we still have to consider and deal with the lower aspects of the astral realm. And I'm talking about the most immediate energies. Now, higher guides can exist in the so-called lower realms. In other words, we can get to the lower realms of the astral realm and still experience higher guides and spirits and angels. They do frequent and visit those areas, and they do deal with human beings in the astral realm on those levels.
When we're talking about the lower areas of the astral realm, you're not talking about like in Dante's Inferno, the rings of hell. Are you talking more about the soul realm of the astral realm? Or are you talking about the higher astral realm and the lower elements of the higher astral realm? Or are you talking about the astral realm in its entirety?
You would have to really consider it in its entirety. A lot of the content is metaphorical in nature and takes on a literary form in terms of its metaphors. Dante's Inferno, of course, deals with different realms of the underworld as much as the higher elements. But And there is truth to that, in my estimation.
So you're saying that higher guides are available in those lower realms?
They can be, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even some of the darker spirits that have spirit energies in them can be of help to us, but we just have to be very careful with those entities because they do have a certain variety. It's almost like if you need information about the dark side in life, you might go to somebody who works for the mafia, and they can tell you what the real facts are. It doesn't necessarily mean they're evil, but they do belong to that kind of organized conception of what that element has to deal with. Same with the dark side. I can gather information from the dark side or the lower energies and entities and still feel that I'm not being exposed to anything necessarily evil because I'm, you know, it's like saying, if you talk to somebody who isn't on the up and up, it doesn't mean you're evil.
Right.
It just means you might be gathering information. I mean, if every policeman became evil because they deal with criminals, I mean, you know how it goes.
Well, some people say policemen are the other side of criminals. But anyway, that's a different topic.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic. I'm just trying to say elements there.
Right.
That
you don't necessarily become who you speak with.
Yeah.
Or who you associate with.
And some offer rather graphic but detailed information about the underworld and the darker sides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lower spirit cannot occupy a higher realm. They just can't. They can mock and resemble a higher spirit, so you need discernment when you're dealing with these entities and energies. So they can mimic the energy of Lucifer, the angel of light. And yes, they can. And a lot of the higher energies can look rather grotesque in appearance. It doesn't necessarily mean that the ugliest fish in the sea are the most dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
On the contrary, oftentimes it's the opposite. So we have those elements. Now, in the lower realm, though, when we're dealing with the lower realm, we're also dealing with forms, misshapen forms, almost inhuman in appearance. These are more, a lot of these are the thought forms of human beings that move upward, upward, if you will, into the lower realm, because the lower realm just means it's outside of the body, and then you have your own degree of energy. So you can get into the lower realm and encounter a thought form. Now, a thought form is going to be different from an actual entity, even though it may feel like one. That's when you get into an element of vagueness and darkness, shadows. These are the things that usually haunt the minds of lower energies, even on the earth. So we can encounter those things. A lot of those thought forms, if you will, is what attaches to people who go to Ouija boards and things like this. They'll connect to a actual thought form that in a way is like a bad cell that will attach to the host, meaning the person that they're trying, that's connecting with them, and almost absorb their thoughts and feed on them, kind of like a zombie, vampire. And so a lot of these people, who they make the great mistake that they're actually talking to an entity when actually in an astral realm, they're really collecting the thought form of something dark, meaning it could be their own thoughts, or it could be the thoughts of something else in a lifeless form, but it still has a certain vitality of energy. Now, those are some of the lower energies. Just like in the lower realms, you can experience, like in our realm, we have like leeches and vermin and
parasites.
Things like that, parasites, bacteria. Well, the astral realm has their own celestial bodies that are like that, too. I wouldn't necessarily call them celestial bodies.
I thought we were
going
to escape that once we left the earth plane.
In the lower realm, no.
The
lower realm can have very primitive energy, because you're talking about the cosmic universe.
Mm-hmm.
And in the cosmic universe, you still have a certain dimension of what we, in our natural language, would call good or evil, light or dark. Things like that.
So I suppose if you're in a higher level of the astral realm, you can avoid some of those lower energies, those parasitic forms.
Well, you can. I mean, you can always avoid by being connected to angels and having angel guides. Your own guide will help protect you in your astral journeys. But there's no foolproof plan entirely. A lot of people, a lot of low-level human beings who are the lowest of the earth elements, when they crossover, if you want to call it that, they occupy the astral realm, and you can indeed encounter them in almost lifelike form. Their astral bodies are there, but they do still they still manifest a certain physical presence when you're encountering them.
Uh-huh.
Through the third eye, and those elements can indeed be somewhat terrifying to encounter, because they're dark elements, they're evil elements, and a lot of times we derive a lot of our supernatural and horror films from this concept that there are evil spirits. Well, yes, there are. I mean, in my mind, in my estimation, there are, because I've encountered them. It's not the typical population, but there are a lot of those lower entities running around. But they basically try to avoid human beings, unless they're on an assault or an attack. They're in their own torment, and they have their own energies to encounter. That's why I see on a lot of these shows, it seems like these people who go into the ghost stories on the reality TV are chasing these things. And so you can tell that they're not typically in pursuit of human beings. Now, they can be, if they want to provoke a human being, then they can, you know, cause havoc and damage and everything like that. But these are lower energies, some of which have been human in form on the planet. Mm-hmm. And they've evolved, well, not really evolved, but they have evolved, if you want to call it that, into the astral body, where they have a different kind of element going on. They're more in tune with black magic and darkness and nightmarish things like that. And they are there, but I don't want to really load this conference, this instruction with a lot of darkness.
Right.
I'm just saying that there are lower energies there that you have to contend with. You just can't help it. It's just not realistic to think they're not there. It's just like in the natural world, we have our different layers of human behavior. Well, the same in that realm as well. And some of the lower guides will be misleading. They can be misleading. Just as there's been people on the earth that mislead, intentionally mislead. I don't mean people who not intentionally mislead or people who are sort of ignorant but think they're doing the right thing. I'm talking about people who are just downright evil.
So those lower elements on the astral realm remain there for eternity? I mean, and they're stuck in that energy field of being a lower element?
They eternity is beyond time.
Right.
When you're saying eternity, you're not really dealing with time. You're dealing with timelessness. Some of them are there for a short space of time. Even the Bible will say Satan's released for a short duration of time, or for a short space, or for a half hour, or whatever.
A little season,
I think is what
it says in the Bible.
And so, you know, that's the construction of a bracket of time,
mm-hmm.
something you can measure. When you're talking about eternity, it's not something you could measure, and we're getting beyond the scope of numbers and times and elements.
Right,
like
but
that.
But
yeah, there for a long period, we can say.
Right.
And they're there, and they mean to be grotesque. They're full of tricks, and they can be very damaging to how they lead people and what they say. Now, but aside from that, it's interesting because this lower realm is also occupied, believe it or not, with fairies and spirits and gnomes.
Right, like the earth elements.
Yeah, earth elements. They're there too. They're a bit of a tricksters too. They usually, fairies and spirits, they like a trade. They like to bargain. They like to barter. And if you want something from them, you have to give them something back. It's very weird. It's sometimes in the form of energy. I mean, the classical notion of giving something back is when the devil says, "I'll give you everything. Just sign your name on this line,
mm-hmm.
and so I can have your soul when we're all done." So that concept is kind of there in a kind of theatrical element. Well, fairies and elves, they're kind of mischievous too. They will want something. They're the ones that might take your keys and play with you and move things around. They just take delight in that disembodied laughter that you swear you heard, you don't know where it is. Doorbells that are obviously ringing. We get a lot of doorbells ringing here.
In fact, the doorbell is disabled, and we've had the doorbell ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most interesting thing. There's
we don't even have a doorbell.
There's no doorbell.
Yeah. And, they like to play around. But sometimes it's in fondness, to tell you the truth. It's in fondness.
It's a way of connecting, I guess.
They're like little puppies that steal your sock and they, you know, lift their butt up and they wag their tail and want you to go chase them. Some of them are kind of playful in that way. And they are perfectly harmless. But grab one, control one, and you can get rare secrets out of them.
Hmm.
I've learned a lot of secrets about the earth and the planet, and what I mean by that is how to talk to trees. My grandfather started to talk to me about how to talk to the energy of a tree until I start to hear it talk back to me.
Oh.
And he said, "Do you hear it?" And I went, "Yeah, I heard Tantra talk to me." Now, it's a different language, but it manifests in the human ear as a perceived and conceivable language, but it starts off as a vibration. Now, that is the element, that's part of the element of the lower realm. So in the lower realm, we can actually hear nature talk to us. You know, the Indians will say, "I hear the language of rocks,"
mm-hmm.
"the language of the clouds," "language of trees," "of soil." You know, on a physical sense, look at birds. They listen to soil. Well, they're listening to worms. And they're listening to grubs and things like that in the earth. But go deeper. There's elements in there that are actually astral in nature, and that's part of the lower realm as well when we get into these elements. So as you can see, there are things to consider there that are both, you have to be careful, and then there are elements there that on the lower realm that actually are somewhat delightful, playful, and even informative, because they will, I've had rocks and trees tell me about oncoming earthquakes. The warning of rain. I mean, their language is there constantly. There's a constant connection between the earth, the lower elements of the earth, meaning rocks and trees, roots, and the language of the planet itself that they're attached to. And that channel, that corridor, it was where the astral realm is on the lower elements.
Wow, fascinating, Neil. Thank you for that. And we're going to get to some of our callers now. But the fact that we can establish a dialogue with the elements of the earth, and I mean not only the trees and the rocks, but the animals, the fairies, it's amazing. So perhaps we can instruct people on how to start to connect in that way on another episode. Okay, 614 area code, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
This is Glenys from Australia. How are you?
Oh, hi, Glenys. Hi, Glenys. I'm so glad you made it
yes.
to our show today.
Thank you. I've been wanting to for a long while, but 5 o'clock in the morning is usually a bit early. But I'm up listening, so that's good.
That's great. Well, good morning to you. And what is your birth date, Glenys?
It is the 25th of the 9th, 47.
So it's September 25th, 1947?
That's correct, yes.
Great. All right. I know you're from Australia. And what is your question this morning, Glenys?
What is my question is, I was thinking of pursuing my interest with spirituality, with doing readings, but I'm not sure if I'm on the right path, and I just wondered if perhaps you had some insight into it.
Well, Glenys, thank you for calling the show. Your numerical linear energy, meaning your birth dates, and here in my world of formation of numbers, I start with the month first, and it's very significant
yes.
that I... So I start with the month first, year 925-1947, which is 37-10-1. Now, in the element of that energy, you're compounded, meaning that you are a human being that has been on the planets many times. You have a lot of past life history. And in fact, the karma from these past lives is such that it kind of went over the rim of the glass. You're compounded. You're a 37-10-1 in numerology, which means that you're dealing with a tremendous amount of karma, but at the same time, you have some beautiful numbers in your system, the 9, the 7. Indeed, the 25 in your day is a chopped-up 7 when you add it up, and it formulates again in your year as a direct 7. That's spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that
oh, yeah.
journey... That journey of spirituality is one that you are equipped to make. And not
mm-hmm.
only that, but you have a certain significance because the seventh chakra lends itself to its most immediate neighbor, which is the sixth chakra, which is, of course, is a third eye, and all that psychic stuff is in there, the intuition,
yes.
the psychicness. And as far as you're experiencing spirituality and wanting to move towards that area. Well, I'll tell you the truth, Glynis. It's your destiny. It's your
very destiny
to establish that energy. In fact, your karmic number 37 is sort of locked in your year of 47 because there is a 3 between the two numbers, and thereby your karma is reestablished in your transcendent energy. Now, that karma means that you're regrouping with spirituality. In other words, that in a past life, you slipped from spirituality. You probably were involved in the elements of spirituality, but something caused you to backslide in that lifetime. So you're coming back to collect collect the information you had obtained from that past life, and now with a better sense of consciousness, you're here to continue the journey without hopefully backsliding once again due to fear or a lack of faith or greed or whatever it may be. So you want to keep your integrity intact. Now, Glynis, you have integrity. You're not a person that I think in this lifetime has been wired to hurt people, to take from people. I don't get that from you, although I don't know you. I just don't get that vibe. You might be, there might be parts of you that are ignorant or wanting to learn, and maybe ignorance is a crude word, but it still applies to not knowing. So there's a certain yearning for you to know, but your knowingness, Glynis, takes you to a level of helping others, which is the consideration of that is integrity. There's integrity behind that. And your consider of helping others is not contorted or misconstrued to mean that you're helping others by destroying others. You're not doing that. You're here to promote knowledge. So then you have to go inside yourself. So this is a journey where you're finding some blockage because you're wondering, people who are seeking spirituality with knowingness don't ask if they're doing the right thing or am I right on the right path. To be inspired spiritually, you wouldn't ask that question to begin with. So to ask it to begin with means that there's something coming up in your journey that means that you have to clear something. There's a karmic element that's unbeknownst to you perhaps, but you're picking up on it, that says, before I can get this journey down in spirituality, I have to clear something so I can be the best I can be in terms of communicating to other human beings. So there's something in your life that you haven't quite cleared up yet. I don't know, it could be a divorce, it could be energy of being hurt, and you're still carrying that, and that can ultimately get in the way of your ultimate goal of gaining knowledge. Is there anything
that
you have
to I'm sorry. Do you think it could also be that lack of confidence in self?
Well, yeah, the lack of confidence is going to be connected. Obviously, you learned that. You learn have a lack of confidence. So
absolutely.
There was something you weren't nurtured with. Yeah. So you have to go back and utilize that memory and redirect it into a nourishment of confidence, not a lack thereof. The way you get nourishment of confidence is to sort of transcend the components that gave you a lack of confidence, whether it was your mother.
I think I've got it. I've got it listening to you. I've worked it out. Listening to you, it has just come to me because as a child, my mother supposedly, as a joke, would always say, "You're stupid, you'll never learn. And you'll never be able to handle that." Pardon me. So I'm thinking that's what it is. It's just popped into my mind.
Well, good. Sure.
Yeah.
It popped into your mind. So it you know, that's the energy coming up to the surface from the bottom to the surface. And so, yes, we can do it that quickly. Spirituality is instantaneous. It's like the twinkling of an eye. Is the biblical phrase. You can have instant recognition of your karma and thereby resolve yourself. You know, a true healing, the best of the healers don't say, in a year you'll be healed. They heal instantly. It's an instantaneous element of energy. And so the same with recognition. So as you're going through that, Glynis, yes, of course, you know, and you reconstruct the element of your parental figure into something that maybe wasn't based in reality, but it's now it's based in the premise of energy. You're recreating an energy form from negative to positive, which is the key link in the element of learning how to transcend into the spirit. To transcend into the spirit is to go from negative to positive. Simple as that.
Yes.
You direct it. Your gasoline is thought form. And your thought form, whatever you want to be creatively. So to recreate yourself, Glennis, now we're on the topic that you are instantly, even on our brief reading, on the path to spiritual enlightenment because you recognized what was in the thorn in your side.
Yes, big time, yes.
So
and
you're
it's
thriving
listening. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't take
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It doesn't take much.
It is amazing. It is instantaneous. When you listen and really hear what I'm hearing what you're saying, then that came immediately and I thought that's exactly what it is, you know, removing that positive the negative and turning it around to a positive.
That's great. So you've made a lot of progress just in our brief conversation.
And Neil's great at digging out the weeds, so to speak, in people's lives. So I'm glad you could have such an instantaneous result, Glennis.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're very welcome, and thank you for joining us. You know, I see all your Facebook posts. I'm on there. Neil doesn't do the Facebook thing, but I do see it. So I'll continue to invite you to our show, and hopefully you'll
thank
be able to make it. Okay. Thank you so much. And Glennis has already joined us on Facebook, but our other callers can do so as well. They can also...
in Australia, wouldn't that be fun to go there?
Can we go? Doesn't sound likely in the near future that we're going to be getting there, but no.
We can always astral project. We're so
goody.
Busy.
That's right. Okay. So we have next 757. Area code, this is Kier.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hey.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you? It's KIER 121992. You know what's really interesting? I'm not going to reveal where this is, but Kier's karmic number is actually in his phone number. Look.
Yeah.
347. What's going on, Kier?
Well, since the last time I spoke to you guys, I know Neil had did like an attunement, and it worked. It really, really worked to the point where it's stressing me out. I'm working so much, and I wanted to work so I can get back into taking like my classes and going to meetups, but I don't have time for it. And I also wanted to work to get my own place and to even have my own room after probably like 4 years or something, but just getting to the point where it just feels like everything is the same. I'm trying to fit back in, like, with the classes and going to the meetups for intuitive development, and I really don't even have the time to do it or the money, really, to do it because I'm paying on certain things, too, as well. And, yeah, it's just stressing me out.
So you're talking about meetups to develop your spirituality, your psychic ability, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now that
mm-hmm.
you're so busy with work, which Neil helped you with, I'm recapping here, you
yeah.
don't have to even get out and do all these things that you want to do, which includes getting in place of your own, and again,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nope,
the work is, you need work and money to be able to go ahead, go forward. It's just, sounds like a time management
you know, the,
issue.
You know, what we do here is the expansion of time is a magical element too, because you have no idea. It's like utilizing space.
Mm-hmm.
When you know how to utilize space and how to compact space, you can put a lot into a little space if you arrange it right. You might on the surface feel like you have no time, and
mm-hmm.
and a human body needs to sleep and have its kickback time and leisure time and sleeping time and things like that. But
mm-hmm.
I suppose that with the advance, one thing you don't have to go anywhere for, you can do it wherever you're at, is breath. You don't need to go anywhere to get your breath. You can do it sitting in a chair. You can do it at work. And what you should start to do is concentrate on the expansion of breath. And what I mean by that is it's a, sort of a yoga concept, but you breathe in, and when you breathe in, you expand the universe of your mind. You're actually breathing into your brain, and you're expanding the universe of your brain to accommodate and create more time for yourself, given the fact that you're working longer and working harder and spending a lot of time on your job. So that would mean that suddenly you would find the time, maybe it's on the weekend, maybe it's in the evening, to go beyond the general attitude of your work and what it's required, and find that time to go to the meetups, to seek the spiritual. You know, I wrote a lot of books, and the only reason I did it was because I found the time to wake up at 5 in the morning to start.
We have
24 hours. You find the time within 24 hours to create magic. And from magic comes the manifestation of actual events. That's what magic is. You manifest something that isn't there and make it appear. So we get into the journey here of you creating something out of nothing, meaning I have no time, and now what I'm encouraging you to do is to create time where there seemed to be no time there. And that can begin with the simple physical steps of either waking up earlier or weekend or in the evening. That's where it first starts, and you need to really check that out. But in addition to that, combine it with some very, very rhythmic breathing through the nostrils, not through the mouth, through the nostrils, up and down, in and out, very slowly, and expanding that mind of yours to find the time within time to do what is transcendent.
Okay. Yesterday I did like a meditation, probably 30 to 40 minutes, and I started to fall asleep. I was so tired. I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this quick meditation. And I got so relaxed that I started to fall asleep, and I didn't realize that I kept jolting down to fall asleep. And I was like, oh, man, I wish I had the time like I did before.
Don't let that rule your practice. I mean, that happens. Sometimes falling asleep reduces us into a astral state. And it could be that your body was turning off, so your astral body could move into the energy level of consciousness. And it could also mean that your body was just saying, you know, we need to take a break. It's you know, slumber break. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But there is what's called in the athletic terms the second breath. Think of it as a rebound. You get your second breath. What do they really mean by that? When I'm really tired, I've been able to regulate my breathing. I'm getting worse at it as I get older. But I've been able to regulate my breathing to find my second breath. And by simply breathing differently, especially when I'm driving and I find myself falling asleep, I can wake
up. That's wonderful for all the drivers out there to know that.
Well,
Neil falls asleep at the wheel.
I fall asleep at the wheel. You know, one time I actually did, this is in the past, in Oregon, I actually did fall asleep at the wheel and then slept the whole way home and got home. I don't know how I did it. Yeah, I even parked. But no, I mean, for all general purposes, I don't go through that now. I don't take those kinds of drives anymore into the dark of night to do readings. But now what you've got to do, that second breath, is it, you have to find it. It's the way that you have to experiment. Try to figure out the different levels that you breathe, and you do this on a very subtle level. You don't have to breathe deep. You just have to breathe deliberately and cautiously and slowly. And you'll realize that that your breath has a pitch, like notes. Your breath has a pitch. And there's actually a pitch in the breath that can wake you up. It's better than anything, and you don't have to pay any money for it, which is nice, but it can wake you up, and you have to find that pitch, because every human being has their own pitch of wakefulness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage you to do that in your waking hours. Just experiment with it, like you were trying to fiddle around with notes on a piano to find a tune. Well, there is a certain note that will wake you up. And it's usually considered more in the element between the heart chakra and the brow, the brain, the sixth chakra. So if you understand your chakra energies and you know how to go directly to one of the chakras via the breath, you can combine the sixth and the fourth chakra into an element of wakefulness. And that's something that you might want to practice too.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Keir, for your call, and let us know how things.
Yeah, I will.
You in terms of balance. Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, let's bring on our lovely Deanna. Hello, Deanna.
Hey, Kristen. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm at low energy level. Very, very low.
She's 11849 and she's a 33 equals 6.
And I just learned that, by what you just said, I was thinking Dore Mi is probably my best breath.
Hmm.
Dore, what'd you say?
It's my best breath, too.
Dore Mi?
Dore Mi.
Oh.
I mean that the Mi in the Dore, you know, when you're going climbing, Mi is where I can hold it.
Okay.
Yeah. There,
because it has to do with you.
It has to do with you, yeah. But it is a note, do, re, mi, you
well,
know, whatever.
Well, whatever relative to the pitch that you're on, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
It's the pitch.
Yeah. Depending on where you are, yeah. Mi
but,
is the third,
but it does,
third element in the scale.
It's the third element in the scale, but the word itself lends itself to the first chakra, the grounding chakra,
right.
me, myself and
mm-hmm.
I, you know, me. So the element, it's a grounding element. And sometimes, Deanna, we need those grounding elements because as long as we know that our feet are on the ground, we know we're not falling, even though we may be caught in a turmoil or a conflict or a challenge. As long as you know that me is grounded, I am grounded, that's
you know,
the first stance.
You know, I've noticed that I tend to lean on my left side more, so I'm off balance. I think to be in balance, I would have to be like two measures over to the right. And I was wondering if there was any kind of basic action I could take in order to be more there. Yesterday I was trying to put all my weight on my right, but I couldn't hold it. I was wondering if this energy situation is going to deteriorate or hopefully improve.
Well, the physicality of your conflict, the anatomical, the physiological state of, you know, is something a doctor should really check out. But I can tell you that when we're dealing with the left side, you're dealing with the more of the right hemisphere of the brain and more of that esoteric, astral, abstract intuitiveness. So it does bring up the idea that you may want to now reconceptualize your standing in terms of the hemispheres of your brain. If you utilize the left hemisphere of your brain, of course, that's going to be more attached to the rational mathematical equations, and you might be able to balance your energies by utilizing the concept of what hemisphere of the brain you're leaning on. So you might want to do some mental exercises that lend themselves to very concrete energies. You know, add simple figures. I know you from our previous readings and things, and so you love to think in abstracts and metaphors, and there's a brilliant conceptualized state of being when you go there. I would never want to dampen that for you, but there may you may want to utilize some rational skills right now, some very concrete skills, so that you can get left hemisphere to wake up a little bit. Because it's probably that you've spent so much time nurturing that right hemisphere of your brain that your left has been a little bit, needs a little bit more watering. So yes. I would probably go there, and aside from, you know, any other additives of going to the doctor, getting checked out, which I can't give medical advice, but I can give advice, and that's legit on my part. So that's what I would probably tend to do, aside from any other choices you may have in the, you know, in your medical options. But from what you're telling me and what I can offer you, it sounds like there's an imbalance of the brain hemisphere. So from esoteric to basic grounding, concrete energies, you know. And
can you attribute my lack of energy to that imbalance?
Yeah, okay. I can, because the energy forces go, you know, we eat food and it turns into energy. So if you think the attitude of your thinking, it formulates into an energy form. So you have to utilize what thought form is going to promote energy. So you have to think of a thought that in its evolution of manifesting into your body turns into energy. And you can use that with keywords, you can use that with psychological words that produce energy for you. You can use it through imagery, sometimes just the energy of the voice. The voice formulates in our vocal box and it produces a vibration, it hums. Sometimes, how many of us, you know, spend time putting our fingers to our throats and listening to the hum of our voice, the vibration of our voice?
You mean feeling vibration.
The vibration.
Feeling it.
So when I'm talking, I have my fingers to my throat right now, my vocal, and I can feel
the
vibration going into my hand. Now, that vibration is now going to be a different kind of energy. It's not going to just be locked in my throat. It's going into my hand, and it's going to now go down my arm and go throughout all my chakra systems. So if I fingers to my throat and I say, I am energized, I am awake, that energy, those words become an energy. They go through my fingertips, down my arm, and up and down my spinal cord. And all the chakras are branching out. They're spinning. That's what they are. They're wheels. They're spirals. And now they're circulating energy. And it's like airing out a house where the windows have been all closed. Now you can breathe. Now you feel refreshed. That kind of thing. So that might be one exercise for you, Deanna.
I will try it. I appreciate the program, both the you know, initial dialogue and the consultations. Thank you very much. I want to keep on listening, and I'll talk to you next week if time permits.
All right, Deanna, thanks for your call. And
gracias, Kristen.
Good advice for her.
Yeah, it's amazing that our bodies, there's so much going on in our bodies that we don't put use to. You know, we just tend to take everything for granted in terms of even breath. Breath is a consciousness, and we tend to take it for granted. The vibrations of our bodies, we take for our heart pumping, our blood.
I know.
Everything we tend to forget.
We forget.
It's
exactly.
So easy.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. You know, God made it so easy for us to live. In this respect.
I mean, yes.
Of course.
To survive.
Life
survival.
Is a struggle.
Survival of the body is what you're referring to.
But, yeah, in this concise moment of definition, our bodies are wonderful mechanisms. We can even go to sleep and they still keep working.
Right.
You don't need them to wake up. They work automatically. And
for
can
most
you imagine,
of us, for I know that,
for most of us,
yeah. Actually, coming to mind is Melissa. Actually, do you remember our caller Melissa, who has a daughter, like a year old, who's struggling to keep her heart beating.
Yes.
You know, she's waiting for a transplant. So you think about a situation like that where, you know, things aren't working. And,
no,
you know,
I don't mean
we,
to minimize.
No. I'm not suggesting that you're minimizing it, but it's like, you know, how we do take it for granted. I'm just
highlighting,
giving
that
credence to your point that, you know, not everybody is so lucky. So, yeah.
That's right. And so that's where you must value how automatic we, most of our human beings are, that we have this instant, constant heart beating and the brain and everything, the blood pumping and everything working in unison. And so we never really are asleep. We are on 24/7. We operate. And it's amazing that for most of us, for the majority of us, we get up to 60, 70 years with minor tune-ups if we're lucky. And just maintenance of the machinery. But it's wise to know that in this body of ours, we have ways to regulate things. There are knobs, there are control panels, there are volume levels, and everything we do is in consequence. The consequence is one for all and all for many. You know, they're doing this thing now, I am Charlie.
Yeah.
And the whole concept is the one for many and the many for one. Whatever your politics are, I'm not getting into that. What I'm getting into is that the concept, I am, and it was the same for the black man that was killed when they said, I am brown, whatever his name was, I forget his name. But the idea is that one is many and many is one. It's simultaneous. So when you look at your body is a whole universe of energy. And if you consider that you as an individual are connected to all the components of your body, well, then you have a total unit working in unison and defending itself against any onslaught that may come. So to the best of us, we're actually equipped to deal with tension, conflict, disappointment, failure. We can do that because our bodies are equipped to survive those attacks or those assaults. And that's why we are still alive as a species. It's adaptation, too. So I think we just need to be very, very aware.
I agree, Neil. Okay, we have a caller from 407. This is Michelle. We spoke to Michelle Monday.
Yes.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you, Kristen and Neil? It's good to speak with you again today. I have a question, Neil. We had actually spoken about this before, but I just kind of wanted to get an update on this. I have this unique relationship with this guy in Europe that test drives cars, and I wanted to know if you could just tell me how that relationship with us is going. And additionally, you mentioned to me one time to be cautious about a conversation about death of an acquaintance in the future, and I wanted to know if you could elaborate on that.
10/17/74 is her birthday. So you're asking two questions?
Yeah.
Okay, one question, Michelle. We can deal with one question. So which is the one you wanted to deal with today?
How's it going with that?
With the relationship?
With the relationship. Do you have a birthday for this person?
10/2/1978?
10/2/78? Yes. Did I do it wrong?
Wait a minute. No, I think you're right.
3/13. She's 28/10/1.
28. No, 28.
You added the 10, the 1.
Yeah. My mistake.
Okay.
So that presents itself that the two of you are going to be you're a 3, Michelle, and he's a 1. He's compounded. He's got a lot of power in his energy. So he's a powerful individual and very bold in his energy. He's got a strong ego in terms of his second chakra. So that can usually means that they are male energies that are like this have a strong physicality. They're very bold. They go right into the battle.
And he's a race car tester.
Oh, he's
is
a
that
race
what
car.
He's, what you said, Michelle?
Yeah, he's a car tester. Yeah, exactly.
So that would definitely.
So he's a car tester, and he has a certain awareness. Now, The two of you, your years are interchangeable, meaning that your 7 to his 8 is 78, and his 7 to your 7 to his 4 is 74, and his 7 to your 8 is 78. Your years are interchangeable, so you're linked up with him in many ways. You also have the same month, and your days added together become 10, which happens to be both your months. So you have a strong karmic connection with them. And also, not only that, but you have, it's just not a karmic connection, Michelle. It's a karmic connection, meaning a past life, that's meant to work through issues that can lend itself to something higher beyond karma, which is what I call more of a transcendent phase of a relationship. So you do have those concepts going on. It's just that with him, it may be hard for you to ground him, meaning that he may not be on the same ground as you in the terms, in dealing with in the same terms of what a relationship is. Some people, they say, you know, in a relationship, I want to see you every day. And the other person says, oh, in a relationship, I want to see you once a month. But I'll be true to you. I just, you know, can only handle once a month, once a week, weekends. And the other person says, well, I'll be true to you, but I want to see you every day. One person says, why don't we live together? Oh, no, we're in a relationship, but I want to make sure I have my space and you have yours. So sometimes you're not in agreement. What I'm saying is that your relationship is karmic and transcendent, but not always in agreement. The grounding is a little bit different. Have you experienced any disagreement, a disparagement in your connection with him in terms of the both of you seeing eye to eye on the same vision? Or has there been disparity and separation in some of those actions?
No, I don't think we've had any, you know, eye to eye disagreements. We don't have any of that. I mean, we're currently physically separated right now, but that's just right now.
Uh huh. And are you dealing with that? Are you comfortable with that? Or are you uncomfortable with that?
I don't like it, but I can't control that right now. I have to get some other things moving in order to change that.
Okay. Is he more tolerant? Is he dealing with it a little bit better, or is he aching over it too?
I don't know.
See, you don't know. And that's what that's where the mystery is, Michelle. You're aching, and you know you are. You're not sure what his read is, and he's not expressing anything to give you some formation of thought about it. So it leaves you in a mystery mode, meaning that he's probably not. You know, he's probably on some level thinking, yeah, I wish I could be with you, but I've got this to do. So he's probably more comfortable than you in the space of separation. That's all I'm suggesting. I don't mean that you're having great battles with him over you know, certain issues. But in this regard, there is that little bit of disconnection, which I think in some point would be noteworthy to examine, because the separation between the two of you, remember, is a karmic situation that's happening because of a past life where there was love in different countries between two people. You're coming from a past life with them to where your love with him in the past life, you were from one country, he was from another in that particular
past. So it's manifesting
life.
In this life,
yeah,
for her. Okay, Michelle, well, we've got another caller, so that's what we have time for today, but Michelle can always call Neil directly. 562-596-7818. It's really difficult to piece together a reading, you know, and you know, across multiple shows. When you want to get into the depth of an issue, I always think it's best to call. All right, 770 is next. And this is Maddie, 145-279. Hi there, what's your question?
Hi. I didn't think, I was only listening, but I do have a question. I was listening. I tune in just to listen. To me, it's so enlightening.
That's great. You know, your hand is raised. So is there anything
since you connect me, I do have a question for Neil.
Go ahead.
What's on Burke's mind?
I'm sorry?
I want to know what is on Burke's mind.
What is on Burke's mind? Do you have a birthday for Burke? Quickly, Maddie.
Oh, I believe it's 617, 6 to 1.
Okay.
I believe so.
You believe. It's a 31-4, I believe. I believe it's a 31-4. Okay, Neil?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of an age difference between, well, not a whole lot, 45, 55, 16 years difference between the two of you. You know, what I'm getting about Bert, it has something to do with work and job. To your knowledge, is he going through any kind of job concern or work concern as far as you know?
All I know is, now I have not met this man. I've just been communicating with him. He lives out in California. And what he told me is that he teaches at some college, and he also owns a construction company. So I don't know.
Oh, well, you know, there's something. He's a busy man. He works, he teaches at college, and he owns a construction company, and his work is probably very consuming to him. So in that regard, his mind is preoccupied with the business of life. Now, if there's some attempt on your part to maybe hook up or connect romantically, you're dealing with a man that is probably very busy and trying to find time for some form of connection in a relationship. Are you looking for a relationship with this man? Are you trying
he would like for us to move forward.
Yeah. So here's what we got. We have a man that would like, are you in different states?
Yeah, I'm in Georgia and he's in California.
Yeah. Another one of those Michelle situations from our former caller where you have people in different areas. You know, it gets a little bit problematic. But the long distance, he's encouraging a relationship, but with long distance, which actually allows him to have the freedom to do his business, because when he sees you, there's not the demand of an everyday thing. So what he's looking for is a relationship, at least at this stage, where he can handle it, because it's not going to be, it's over a long distance. And that allows him to do his work, and he's not nagged all the time. He doesn't have his demands from his mate on him all the time. So he's actually looking for a relationship that allows him to do his work and the concerns of his work without
But he did mention that he wouldn't mind moving to Georgia because he grew up in the South. He did mention that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The potential, Maddie, for the relationship is there. But you said, what's his current state of mind?
Yeah, current state of mind? He asked for pictures. I text him pictures on Sunday, and he said, thank you, but he never commented.
Well, his current state of mind is to explore the relationship, but there's reservations about how much time he can put into it right now. But it's on a positive note of exploring it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Maddie, we're out of time.
Oh, it is on a positive note of exploring. Okay, that's good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Maddie,
I handled it from that point, what you just told me. I thought so, but I just wanted to be sure. I mean, I didn't really call in to ask that, but I called in to listen. I had some time on my hand before I go out. I said, let me listen, because I like your enlightenment. I really do.
Thank you so much, Maddie. And we are out of time today, so we're back on the air on Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, Neil. We hope to hear from everybody again.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.